Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, in here today with my co-host, Ryan Ketchins, and an incredibly special guest who's about to tell us how she got married at 60 years old.
And you better whisper that, too.
Dr. Cindy Trimmer's in the building. Let's get it.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated.
It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, my co-host, Ryan Ketchins.
I can already tell, man. It's going to be a powerful one right here.
You need to watch, too.
I discovered porn when I was a child. My mom.
To get that white man's upset out of him. He pursued me, I ran.
I won, don't care.
This is dope.
You need to have a threesome.
There you go.
And you just got him now.
It is time. Welcome here, Monday night. You already know how we do it, and we're doing it even more special today. I told you it was going to be a special Monday because the queen is in the building.
Big facts.
Welcome, Dr. Cindy Trim, to Hardly Initiated.
Well, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm excited already. I mean, the pre-show. I wish everyone could have been here to see the energy and the authentic conversation we were having.
Absolutely.
Yeah, listen, I'm already motivated from what we talked about before the show. But just a glimpse, for those of you who don't know who this powerful sister here, sitting here with us, I just got a couple keynotes just to give you a little understanding of what she's done in this lifespan. Because we're sitting here with a former senator, okay?
Incredible.
A business and life strategist, humanitarian, all right? Guinness World Book record holder and a transformational leader, and now also a wife.
A wife.
Which we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
In just a few. So I'm very excited. Y'all about to be in for a treat. So we're going to get to it.
Well, see, I know this is going to be a good one because one of our friends and spiritual mentors, Pastor James, talked to Pastor James today. And Tyshawn just dropped casually that we was having, you know, Dr. Trim on the show. And he was like, oh, man, really? Really?
No. Yeah. What he said is, he said, do you know who she is? He asked me. I said, we about to have on the show. Of course. He said, no. Do you know who Dr. Cindy is? And he re-explained to me who you were. Mm-hmm. So I knew this was special.
Facts. Mm-hmm. But listen, before we get started, guys, I got to tell you about these cards. I'm actually, Tyshawn, give me some help here because I actually got to pull this up.
Okay.
Because we've been getting messages after messages about how much you guys are falling in love about these cards. So check this out. Tyrine, I received my cards a few weeks ago and I love them. I use them with my two daughters and they even took them to Disneyland to use with their friends. So guys, she used them with her two daughters. Everybody is like, well, what if I don't have a day? What if I'm not intimate with somebody? She used them with her two daughters. Look, I got another one for
Incredible.
You.
Incredible.
I got another one. My bestie bought them for me. It's all, because it's all I've been talking about. I screamed when I opened the package. That's a good one. What are the rest of them at, Lano?
Man, incredible.
Keep them coming.
I love the people loving these cards.
Well, guys, look, I'm having a hard time pulling this up, but this is the thing, guys. 100 open-ended questions to lead you to intense, true chemistry. And the thing, what I like about these cards, and Dr. Trim, you could probably attest to this because so many people just have issues with igniting a relationship, igniting a depth conversation. When you came in, it was very easy for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good people. But I think it's some really good people who just have a big issue with striking up a conversation. The cards make that easy, guys.
Yes.
Really easy. So I'm going to drop the link in the bio, in the chat, in the comments, and make sure y'all cop these ASAP.
You got to get them. All right. Now, is it time? Ryan, is it time to go ahead and talk to Dr. Cindy Trim?
It's ready. It's
oh,
ready.
My goodness. First of all, so let me make sure I got it right, though. Was it at the actual age of 60?
At the actual age, I had turned 60 that summer.
Okay.
And then I got married in October. So I was still fresh into my 60s.
How long were you guys, you know, dating and courting before?
A year.
A year.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you know?
Well, I dating is very important. So I had dated several people. I think it's very, very healthy. And especially if you have boundaries. And one of my boundaries was, you know, you don't get the cookies until you pay for it. You got to put a ring on it. Right. So that was my boundary. That's my boundary. And so we talked a lot. We had this long distance relationship, which is good. You're talking about these cards that everyone should get. But you have to know how to communicate. So I communicated myself from an authentic place. Mm. And I demanded that he communicated who he was from an authentic place. Mm. So I can know who he is. And a lot of times, even in marriages, what happens is we project something that we're not. So people fall in love with this avatar. And then they get married and they still feel empty and lonely. And they feel empty and lonely because that person is not in love with them. They're in love with this projection of them.
Mm.
And so I had to show him who I really was and ask some serious questions that I demanded answers of. And he answered them right. And then I tested him. I just did this little test.
What's the test?
So he said, okay, where do you want to go on your first date? So he lived in, at that time, Florida, and I lived in Atlanta. And I said, I want to go to London on my first date.
Wow.
Now, I know one thing, that a man pursues what he wants. And if he's serious with you, he'll pursue you. So if you're sitting home waiting for him to call you after you had your first date and a week has gone by, he is not serious with you.
Mm.
Because a man will invest in what he likes and what he loves, but he will never invest in something that he's not serious about.
Mm.
So I wanted to see, you know, okay, are you serious? So meet me in London, because you'll make the investment and you'll pursue me.
What did you, so you said, meet me in London. What was his exact words after you said that?
So he said, okay. But when we were interviewed on some other podcast, he said his heart dropped. And he said, okay, you know, in himself, I guess I have to do this. But that was my test.
Wow.
Now, if he would have said no.
Mm-hmm. Would have been fine. We could have been friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Dr. Cindy.
I mean, now, Dr. Trim, she's on another stratosphere.
Oh, so, yeah, absolutely.
I know
absolutely.
How men think. I know how men think because I did marriage counseling. So I know how men think. I know how they pursue. I know everything about a man.
Mm.
So when I met my husband, I had some serious questions. What do you want out of a woman? And then when he got serious, the question was, what do you want in a wife? Two different questions.
Mm.
Let me tell you what I need from a man and what I want from a husband.
Mm.
So that was negotiation. Are you able to reach this? And am I able to reach this? Because I don't want any surprises. When we get married, you are not going to change on me. So we had this long conversation. We talked for a whole year. And
without ever meeting them in person?
No, we dated.
Okay, got you. Okay, yeah. Understood.
That would have been disastrous.
I would have been like, what? I get it.
Yeah, that would have been definitely disastrous. But I think, you know, the problem with the average woman is we want to fall in love with a man when we haven't fallen in love with ourselves.
Mm.
So how you treat yourself is how someone else is going to treat you. And if you don't know who you are, it's impossible for someone else to know who you are. So, you know, that's why we talk about self-love and self-care. How can you care and love a self that you don't know? So most of us know what everybody else wants from us, but we don't know what we want from ourselves. Mm. We know what other people need from us because women are trained that way. Figure out what other people need and make it happen. But what do you need? What do you want? Have you sat down and written out a vision for your life? I wrote a vision. So I knew when he stepped up, if he didn't qualify in these areas. However, I knew what I was bringing to the table. Mm. I wasn't demanding something from him that I didn't already have. Mm. I already had my house. I already had my car. I wasn't asking a man to enrich my life because I enriched my life, to prosper my life because I prospered my life, to make me successful because I made me successful. Can we get together, and together we can create a power that we couldn't create apart? So I believed in power couples.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I contribute to your vision, you contribute to mine. But, you know, I'm an alpha woman, so I consider myself like a Wonder Woman. Mm. And I've never seen Superman deliver Wonder Woman. I've seen them fight together. So, you know, a lot of women are waiting for the Superman to rescue them. You gotta, your first love is to love yourself. Mm. And if you love yourself, then you have a standard. And if you teach people how to respect that standard, they'll respect it. You have to have boundaries. Know where you end and someone else begins.
Now, I do want to go back to those two questions. Mm-hmm. What do you want in a woman or a man? And what do you want from a husband or a wife? What is the difference between those two questions?
Well, a woman is who you are. A wife is a role that you play. It's a difference.
Damn!
What's happening is this, that a lot of times we're, you know, a part of maturity is you get to the point of being a lady and a gentleman. But most of us are marrying boys and girls, individuals that haven't matured. So, hey.
So, man, first of all, you are a woman. And the wife is the role you play.
Yes.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
It works for us too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are men. Mm-hmm. And the husband is the role that we play.
It's the role that you play.
And sometimes the lines can get blurred.
They can get blurred.
They can become confusing.
Very confusing. So I know when I'm talking to my husband and when I'm talking to the man that I fell in love with, it's different.
Hold on, break that down. Break that down.
When you're mature, each of us connect with purpose, right?
Yes.
And you play this purpose out. It gives you meaning. It gives you a sense of significance, a sense of relevance. So you play this role, and it's like dancing. You learn your steps. And then when you get a man, hopefully he has his own rhythm. And when you come together, that's when the dance happens. That's the marriage. So my husband is water. I'm fire. And when we came together, we had steam.
Okay, now you mentioned you identifying as an alpha woman.
Yeah.
Now, I think, you know, because that's just something that's thrown around a lot, but it seems that you might have a different definition or identify as something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Does it have to do anything to do with ambition, or is it just self-love?
No, I'm a leader. I'm born a leader. You put me in the back of the line, and the line shifts in my direction. I'm a born leader. So my question to him was, are you comfortable and happy to be married to a woman who knows who she is, who owns every room? I'm like a carpenter. I don't look for people to open doors for me. I build doors and open them for others. Are you comfortable with that kind of woman? Are you comfortable? So his philosophy initially, because he came out of a traditional marriage, this is his second marriage. His first, you know, marriage, his wife died. So this is his second. And she was stay at home. She was a domestic engineer. Now you're marrying someone who has a domestic engineer. In other words, I have a housekeeper. I had people cooking for me, packing for me. So those are the things I didn't do. So, but I love to cook. So it wasn't an issue of me cooking and cleaning, but this is so vastly different from what you were accustomed to. So sometimes if you're hungry, I'm going to make sure that you eat, but I'm the make it happen woman. I might not cook it. Are you comfortable with that type of woman? So I asked him, well, what do you think your role is as a husband? Well, my role is to cultivate my wife. So I said to him, I don't need cultivating. I came fully assembled, batteries included. So, you know, he had to make a shift.
But that is a good answer, though, right?
Yeah, right. But he had to make a shift in his thinking. We're going to cultivate us because I came cultivated. A better me is a better we. A better I is a better us. So I've already done the work so that you don't have to do the work. I'm not a little girl. I'm a grown woman. I'm not asking for affirmation or confirmation. I come to build something that I cannot build by myself. And we could build it together. And this is this beautiful relationship. So he has his rhythm. I have my rhythm. He has his dance. I have my dance. We come together. And we form this beautiful tango.
What was his response to you when you told him that?
Well, he has capacity. So he was fine with it. But if he didn't, I knew, okay, bruh, if we get married, this is going to be a problem because, Dan, right, you're going to be asking me when you coming home. Mm. So I'm not a 9-to-5-er. I'm a 9-to-faint. Because I had to, you understand, I've been taking care of myself financially since I was 8 years old. I grew up in abject poverty. But it didn't make me independent. It made me interdependent. I contributed to my family's well-being. So now, with this marriage, I know how to handle my stuff. I can make stuff happen for us. But can you make stuff happen for us as well? That's the big question.
I can't imagine that there were many a past that was cool with hearing a woman say what you're saying. That probably some men were like, nah, this ain't quite for me. Hearing that, was there ever a man in your past that did tell you that this ain't quite for me?
No.
And had you second guess yourself?
No. They all wanted to marry me. When you get a woman that could take a house and turn it into a home, that's a catch. I'm a good catch. I know I am. I know what I bring to the table. I know what I can make happen. You know? And yeah. If we could do this together, I cultivate any man that is a Clark Kent. And just give me, you know, one of those old-fashioned telephone booths, I could turn him into a Superman.
Wow.
Because I know how to speak to the psyche of a man. Mm. A man needs to be honored, needs to be respected. A woman needs to be affirmed at the level of her greatness. So if you can affirm me, I can speak to your psyche. So I think that's the kind of conversation. You know, in our community, the biggest question people ask me, you know, what's wrong with the black male, the black female?
Really?
Yes. Because it starts in the home, starts with the mother. Mm. And then it ends with what we allow. So if I don't have a standard, you're not going to have one either. So there are certain things I am not going to allow. Number one, I'm not taking care of a man. So, you know, if I have a car and you don't have a car, my husband has a car. But I'm just giving this as a scenario. If I have a car and you caught the bus to my house, you ain't spending the night. I think I hit a bus. And you are not borrowing my car. Because I'm not taking care of you.
Mm. I think it's a lot of women actually struggling right now. They probably listen to the show with a dude that took the bus to the crib expecting to ride home right now.
You going home? You came on the bus? You're going on the bus. Because, you know, here's the thing. And I know we're talking about relationships. But here's the thing about even fathers. When you say, I can't afford to take care of my child because I don't have a job. Well, what do you think we do with your child? We find a job. I don't have a place to live. Well, what do you think I did? I found a place to live. If you have pleasure making, you should have pleasure taking care of that baby. Mm. And so I'm not letting you loose. I'm sorry. And I'm not letting you off the hook. I'm not one to let you off the hook. So I have this conversation with my nephew, my brother. Don't come to me and ask me for any money. Okay. I don't lend money to family or friends.
Mm.
I'm not a bank. Remember, it's about roles, right? That you play. I'm not your bank.
And I know they come asking.
Now, do you want wisdom or are you going to be a beggar for the rest of your life? Because I have to go out every day and do the same thing that you're asking me to do for you. I have to do it for myself.
I want to hear more about what works for Dr. Trim. So you mentioned the question, right? What do you want from a man? So foundationally, are there some things that you're like, a man absolutely has to come equipped with these things?
Yes.
And if you could throw some of those additional deal breakers in there as well. Like,
Yeah. I think, you know, we talk about 50-50 in a relationship. I believe in 100%, 100%. So it's all about capacity for me. I'm not expecting people to do what I do or be who I am, but I want to know that you're meeting me in the middle. So, you know, my measurement is the Bible. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So he did three things. He bled for me. So he bleeds, he feeds, and he leads. So can you lead me? Can you feed me? And will you bleed for me? In other words, will you sacrifice? Because I'm making sacrifices. Women naturally sacrifice. But can we sacrifice? And is that sacrifice going to be equal to mine? Now, if your capacity is a point, and mine is a gallon. And your capacity is a point. then I'm going to meet you at a point level, and that's 100% for me. Now, if you increase your capacity to a gallon, I'm going to meet you at a gallon.
Now, let me ask you this. First of all, I got so many questions in my mind. Because Cindy Trim, as for those of you just tuning in, has gotten married at the young age of 60 years old.
And whisper that.
60.
Because I'm only 21. I'm 21.
And you said that there were other men prior.
A lot of them.
They all wanted to marry you.
Every year.
But you said no, all the way up until being 60.
Yeah.
What was it in those men that allowed you to keep saying no, even through the societal pressure of thinking, oh man, I need to get married now. Mm-hmm. My biological clock is ticking. Mm-hmm. I'm running out of time. Mm-hmm. They not going to look at me like they used to. Mm-hmm. When all of that pressure is hitting you, mm-hmm. maybe even family and friends putting pressure mm-hmm. on you. What made you keep saying no?
It's this thing. The best way I can explain it is when you meet a person that has capacity for you. My husband has capacity for me. He's a very kind individual. He's a leader himself. But he has capacity for me. He's not going to stop me and make me become something that I'm not. So I'm naturally giving. So I naturally give. It's my love language. And I'm not expecting you to give in like kind, but I'm expecting you to give me what I need. And I don't want anyone around me that's selfish, because I'm going to give to you. I'm going to support you in your journey. That's what I'm going to do, because I have capacity. I'm the make it happen person. I make it happen for countries, businesses, my clients. I make it happen. But I want to know that at the end of the day, you understand what I need, and I don't need much. But I need that man with the capacity, and I don't need someone that wants me to change. I'm not trying to change my husband. I'm trying to understand him. So we used to have, long conversations, and I would say to him, what do you mean when you say that? And he would say, well, you don't understand the words. Yeah, I understand the words, but every word has a context. And if your context is wrong, your conclusion is wrong. So I'd rather you tell me the context. So I'm an independent thinker, and I'm an independent woman. And I had to be, because I grew up in abject poverty. So at age 8...
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I started my first business at age 12. I was financially responsible for myself. So I had to pay for my clothes, everything at 12 years old. Just imagine. If I wanted to do anything, 8, 9, 10, 11, I had to pay for it myself. But, this is just my life. Nothing bad. Dad was not around. He abandoned me until I became a senator.
Wow.
So when I became a senator, all of a sudden, that's my daughter. And I said, depart from me, because I don't know you. You're like a stranger to me. No hard feelings, but I don't know you. And so with my husband, I think it was all about capacity. And with the others, I just felt like that thing wasn't there. Like, you're going to try to change me. And rather than frustrating you and frustrating us, let's just be friends. And I'm fine with that. So I have a lot of male friends. And even with my husband, I said to him, look, I have a lot of male friends. Are you okay with that? So if whoever calls, I'm going to put it on speaker. You can hear the whole conversation. Why? Because I have a standard. I've always had a standard. I'm a woman and a lady. And here are my core values that you're going to honor. So that's what it, the other guys, I just didn't have that thing. I remember dating one guy. He said, when you get married, you don't have to work. I felt like, I'm not going to be married to the mob. Suppose something happens, you know, I'm going to develop my potential. And my potential is to lead, to cultivate nations and communities and to help to make this world a better place by raising up thinkers and leaders. That's what I do. So why would I stop? Because I'm married. And why do you think that you have to rescue me and I need to be barefoot and pregnant? Why? So I think tradition changed during World War II. In World War II, when the men went out to war, the women had to hold the industries down. If not, the United States of America would have collapsed on itself. And all the men, this was universal, they went to war. So when they came back, the woman was different, but the man was the same. He still had the same psychology, and he never changed. So now the women are working, and the men are working, but yet you want me to be the traditional woman, to come home, to take care of children, clean, and you sit down, read the newspaper, and watch TV. But it's not going to happen. So I believe that this is the big conversation that we need to have. What role, and remember it's a role, what role are you going to play in this relationship? You know? And I said to my husband, look, you're not helping me to clean the house. You're just cleaning the house. Well, why? Because then you're saying that my role is to clean the house. You're not helping me to wash dishes. You're not helping me to cook. You're just cooking. I never say, oh, I'm going to help you to cook. I just cook. So why is it helping me? So, you know, again, we have to do a lot of talking in where are we today in terms of the family and how are we going to do this together?
In your experience with the many couples that you've counseled, do you find that they're confusion in terms of the roles? And if so, yeah. What role is the average woman looking, or is what role is ideal for the average woman, just in your
It experience? Depends, because you have a lot of different roles. So you could play a role. I'll just give you an example. You could play the role of the sun and the moon. And the sun and the moon are both in the sky. They're both elevated. And together, they create weather. They create seasons, time. They do it together. And they both shine. So you could be a sun and a moon, which is really good. Mm-hmm. Then you could have the housekeeper and the house guest. So the housekeeper does the cleaning and the cooking and the house guest gets to relax. That's another role, right? Then you can have the mother and the son. Mm. Those are roles. Where the woman now is taking care of this little boy. But if a woman ever gets to the point where she's taking care of this man, he will never respect her. And she will never respect him. Because now you got this mother with this little boy. Or it could be reversed. It could be the father and the little girl. So the husband is playing the role as the father that she never had, and she's the little girl. Or you can have the patient and the doctor. So someone's fixing someone, someone's healing, you know, someone's always having a mental breakdown, emotional problem. So you have the doctor. Then you have the psychologist and the psychologist and someone with a mental issue.
Yeah.
Right? And the roles go on and on and on. And you have to talk about, okay, here's the role. My husband and I are sun and moon. We're both great in our orbits, but together we create more.
Mm.
So, and there's another 10 kinds of roles people play.
Yeah,
and
sure. When I was having fun with those.
Yeah, honestly, but, I like that. Yeah,
so right. When I counseled, the first thing I say, okay, what role are you playing? Are you Superman and the damsel in distress? What's going on here? What's the roles that you're playing? Because unless you identify this role now, mind you, there are some women that love to play the housekeeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, to serve their husband. If that works for you, it works for you. It's fine. One of my friends is the mother and her husband is the son. It works for them. They've been in marriage, what, 40 years?
Wow.
But it couldn't be me. Don't ask me what you want to. I mean, you know, it looks fine with me, but I'm not going to dress you. Are you with me? I'm not going to dress you. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to treat you like you don't know. I'm not going to do that.
Wow. You know, another role I see often too?
What?
It's the patient and the patient.
Both people need help.
Okay, wait.
Yeah. I thought she was saying you're right.
Well, you are right. Yeah.
But let me tell you. Oh Lord.
Severely damaged.
Oh my God. That's when you need outside help like this.
Right.
You know, we need this podcast. They need to be able to identify because sometimes people don't know.
Okay.
Unless you put vocabulary into a person's mouth, they don't know.
Yeah.
All they know is something's wrong with this relationship.
Yeah.
But nobody ever puts vocabulary to it. And that's why I love this podcast.
Thank you so much. In fact, if you guys want to look, the initiation hotline is coming up. We're going to get you guys involved in the conversation. But if you want your comments read, not your question, if you want your comments read, go ahead and send over some super chats. We're going to get to them very quickly. Send your super chats in and we'll go ahead and read them here with Dr. Cindy Trim on the platform.
Yeah.
And you got some for us real quick?
Yeah. Shout out to all the new members, all the new initiates, by the way. Shout out to Mija and shout out to Nicole. Nicole is one of my favorites. Nicole says, please have her discuss the type of women she surrounds herself with. Can only imagine they're of the same caliber.
Oh, man.
So, Dr. Trim, I know you mentioned having male friends.
Mm-hmm.
What type of females do you keep in your company?
Okay, that's a big, long conversation. So, you know, when it comes to relationships, you have 12 bands of relationships. And you have to put people in this place. And every relationship has a role, a rule, a responsibility, expectations, you know, and boundaries. You have to have that in every relationship. So I put people in their place, starting from strangers. And then you work yourself into the closest to you is the relationship you have with yourself. And then with your spouse or significant other. And then you move out to your mentor. And then you move out to your immediate family and then extended family. And it keeps going out like that. And I think, you know, having people, I call it your success circle of trust, which your mentor is in. So you have yourself, you have your spouse, significant other, and then you have your success circle of trust. And there you have your mentor. And then you work out with your immediate, and then you go out to your extended family, and then you go out to your friends. And then you keep going out, and the further out you go, the less quality time you spend with them. And so you spend less quality time with your colleague. But a lot of people try to make their colleagues their friends or even their family. Mm. And this is where you mess up. So I have a success circle of trust. These are people that I surround myself with. And my success circle of trust are people that have equal network and equal net worth or greater network or greater net worth than me. And then my friends, you know, you have to define what this relationship is. So I just met you guys. I'm not going to call you a friend.
Right.
You know, for me, you're still sort of like a stranger.
We're under investigation right
then
now.
Then in order to bring you in, I might make you a colleague. And then I could bring you in further and further. You might end up being a protege of mine. So I'm your mentor. Mm. And you're my protege, which is different from a friend. Mm. So a friend for me is someone for laughter, someone that you travel with, someone that you decompress with, you know, they're not serious. I don't bring problems to a friend. A friend cannot borrow money from me, you know, because I'm not a bank. That's not the definition of this relationship, you know. But then you get your success circle of trust. And that's, if you see yourself like a business, I'm the CEO of me.com, right? Me.inc. I'm the CEO of me. So I want a board of directors. People that I'm accountable to, not necessarily behavior, but accountable to for bringing a vision, a dream, a goal to pass. So you have to have a vision for your life. and a vision for all your relationships. Who do you need at this time? A lot of times we just bring anybody into our lives without qualifying them. What do you need from me? I never engage in a relationship with anyone that I cannot add value to. Mm. So if I can't add value to you, we're wasting time. Yeah. But equally, if you cannot add value to me, we're definitely wasting time. Why? Because I know what I bring to the table. So I know, firstly, I say, what can I give? And then what do I want from you in exchange? Mm. So that makes every relationship that you will ever cultivate, it is a relationship of exchange. It's transactional. Every relationship is transactional, even abusive relationships. Mm. They're transactional.
And what are you transacting in that relationship?
It means that you give away your personal power and someone else controls your destiny because you don't have enough courage and integrity. You don't have enough self-worth and self-love to know that you know what's best for you. Mm. So until you raise the... See, you can never outperform your current concept of self nor rise above the level of your self-worth.
Damn!
You can. So it starts with you. You attract who you are, not who you want. So you do the work. You got to get involved in self-mastery. Do the work. Do the work on you. I did the work on me. So when my husband comes, the first line is self-awareness. And self-awareness is knowing where I end and you begin.
Mm.
So what if I walk in a room and nobody likes me? That ain't none of my business.
Right.
Why? Because I like me. I know you have the right to not like me. But that's still none of my business because I refuse to play supporting actress in the unfolding of the narrative that you have in your mind of me. Because I have been drafted in to play lead actress in the unfolding of my own life narrative.
Oh, now hold on. Let me ask this right here while we're there. So when I'm thinking of supporting actress, I might also think of a helpmate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that those words are the same?
No. And the word is helpmeet. It doesn't say helpmate.
Okay, break that down for me.
Help me meet you somewhere. So I have to determine the realm and the station and the status of life I want to rendezvous with you in. And so these are the heavy kinds of topics. Because a lot of people end up in divorce. Why? Well, he doesn't understand me or, you know, he's not where I am. Well, that's where you were before you got where you are.
Mm.
And, you know, I was counseling this couple, and she wanted to get married because she felt like, okay, I'm spiritually mature, and he's not. And I was like, well, what's wrong with that? When you were married, nobody was spiritually mature. So if you're maturing at one level, and he may not be maturing exactly in that same level, but he loves you. And he honors you and he respects you. You got 25 years into this. Do you realize that if you divorce him and you find someone else, you're going to have to go through the first year again and the second year again and the third year and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh? You're going to have to go through it, you know, all over again. And I was counseling this one lady. They had been married, I think, 40 something years.
Wow.
And they were now in retirement. And he wanted to stay home, and she wanted to travel the world. And she was frustrated with him. I said, what's wrong with that? Do you have any girlfriends that want to travel the world? Well, go with your girlfriends and leave him alone. Let him sit around and watch the grass grow. But does he like you? Is he abusing you? You know, is he a good man? Yes, 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 but he's boring. Well, he's been boring for 40 years. You stayed married. But now you feel like you want to fly, know where you end and he begins. Have a conversation with him. And if he's all right for you to travel, go ahead, send him pictures. But a lot of times we want people to grow at the same rate, have the same interest. Like I said, my husband is water. I'm fire, pure fire. And it works for us. I'm not trying to make him something that he's not. And he's not trying to make me something that I'm not. And you communicate. And we communicate. I like this. I don't like that. You left this here. Blah, blah, blah. And it's fine because we have never argued once.
Wow.
Not one day.
Wow.
Is that healthy? You would consider that healthy?
Absolutely. You're mature. We're grown. Why you need to argue when you can communicate?
See, some people say that you want to be in an argument first to really see how they respond. I've heard that counsel.
My husband will never argue because that's not his personality. Mm. And that's not my personality. I'm a grown woman. He's a grown man. Talk to me. If you don't like something, tell me. I can fix it. If I don't like something, I just say, oh, I don't really like that. Okay, babe. You know, I'll fix it. I ain't gonna kill you. Are you with me?
I'm 100% with all you. Right. I get it. It just ain't, listen, you're talking about you a grown woman. It's a lot of grown women and grown men out here fighting now.
Yeah, well, they have some immaturity because they haven't dealt with their expectations. So you never talk to me about your expectation. I'm not a mind reader. So, you know, you got to tell me. I'm not going to sit all day trying to read your mind. That's not even on my resume. We've got to learn how to communicate, but communicate with emotional intelligence. And that's where the problem is. We don't have emotional intelligence.
Now, I would say you dropped a bomb on me with this word helpmate, because I hear everybody around the country, even the study, the pastors themselves.
It doesn't say mate. It says help meet.
Now, when you say it doesn't say the Bible.
The Bible does not say help mate.
So where do we get that from?
Is that an interpretation or?
I don't know. People, I don't know. They just say help mate. I don't
really?
Know.
So it actually says.
Genesis says help meet.
Help meet. M-E-M-E-E-T.
It says help meet.
Wow.
Wow.
So help me to meet you somewhere. And I ain't going to be in poverty. Why? Because I already had that experience. I told you I grew up in poverty.
Yeah.
Help me to meet you somewhere.
So is, because it sounds, I know you said you would not take care of a man.
Never.
So how important to you is finances? And
big.
Okay. And do you think that should be the standard?
It should be the standard. Mm. Is there, and then, you know, you're marrying a mature woman. Mm. So I already know who I am. I'm not trying to find myself. I think it's beautiful if people get married young because you can mature together. It's beautiful.
Or grow apart.
Yeah, you could grow together or grow apart. Yeah. But, you know, when you marry mature, like this is my husband's second marriage. And this is my first. So the hurdle that I had to get over is a single mentality. Because I had been single for 60 years.
Right.
Ooh. So, you know, I remember one Saturday I dressed up and I'm going. He said, babe, where are you going? Oh, I'm just going out shopping. You know, how are you going to get there? I'm Ubering it. Well, I could take you. You know, you got to remember that you're not single anymore.
Right.
Bruh, I forgot it. You know, I forgot I wasn't single. And then I had to remember that, you know, we were mature now and I grew up. I have a very close-knit extended family, my brothers and sisters. But I was treating them like they were my immediate family. And I had to make the mental adjustment that my immediate family was my husband and me. Because anybody over 21 constitutes an extended family. That includes children.
Mm.
So if they're over 21, they are extended family. So that's the next mental adjustment that I had to make, you know, because I ended up with bonus children. So I said to my husband, they can come over anytime. You know, the house is big enough. He said, oh, no, they can't. They got families of their own. You know, and I thought, you know, you're absolutely right, because in this house, it's just you and me. And, you know, this is all we're concerned about right now. is our immediate family.
Now, you talk about being single for 60 years, and it's women, you know, who've been single that long, 50, 40, 30, and so on. What else comes with, you know, I guess, relieving yourself of that single mentality? What other kind of issues did you find that you was having?
Firstly, you know, remembering that it was him and I and not my siblings.
Right.
You know, so my siblings and nieces and nephews, I didn't have any children of my own. So being a single woman without children, you kind of adopt your nieces and nephews. Mm. So right. I had to let them go. You know, I had to let them go and cultivate my relationship with him. And then, you know, as a single person, friendships are very, very important because you build communities around you. And so I had to remember, hey, you know, is this okay? How do you feel about this? You know, I wasn't necessarily asking him permission, but I wanted to know, look, if I went to Dubai on a girls' trip, are you okay with that? And so it was that kind of conversations. It was a lot of mental calisthenics that I had to go through to remind myself, hey, you're married a woman and your husband should be first. Make your husband first. Mm. And make him your I don't know, primary focus and not secondary. Because, you know, there's always the... I guess it's the habit of reaching out to friends and talking to friends first, you know, people that you confided in, and then talking to your siblings as opposed to talking to your husband. And then I know how to talk to a man because I think like a man. Give me, go straight to the point. I don't need a 5-hour conversation. What do you want? I think like that. So when people talk to me, give me the short version. I don't want to sit down and talk to you for 1 hour before you tell me what you need. And if you need therapy, you got to pay me. I'm your friend now. But if you need therapy, you got to pay me.
It'll cost you.
But with a man, you've got to talk to a man in details. What do you need? Like, baby, I want you to take the trash out every night. By 10 o'clock at night, bam, he got it. Take the trash out. When do you want the trash out? You know how men think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, baby, I need you to do this on Tuesday by 5 o'clock. Got it. Details. When you speak to a man, you got to speak to him in details and leave the little frilly stuff out. And if you want frills, talk to your girlfriend because they can listen all day. But a man's eyes are going to cross like, get to the point. Do you need help? Right. What do you want? What do you want me to do? You'll fry a man's brain if you just keep talking.
I'm not going to lie. I'm listening to Dr. Cindy, and I don't think my Dr. Cindy's a boss.
Yeah.
I just hear. Yeah. And I want to ask you this, too, because, you know, traditionally, a man is to lead the household.
Yes.
But you study and to some levels have mastered leadership.
Yes.
So do you let your man in your relationship at this point with where you are lead?
He has to lead. He has to.
So you still believe in traditional
leadership?
Didn't
I give you the three things he has to do for me?
Yes.
He's got to lead, he's got to feed, and he's got to bleed.
But also in some ways also, you're not as necessarily traditional minded when it comes to relationships. So I'm trying to figure out where, I guess, it's still.
Well, it goes back to role, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm all woman. When I walk through that door, I'm all woman.
Mm.
Mic drop.
Damn.
There you go.
I just like the way you just look.
I know.
Yeah, it's just,
I know.
I'm all woman. He doesn't want a leader. He doesn't want a business owner. Mm. He just wants his wife. He wants his woman. The softness of a woman.
How do you know how to switch that?
I know how to switch it. I'm a grown woman. I know how to switch. I know what a man needs. I know how to take care of him. A man in a marriage is different from a woman. A man has to chase something, conquer something.
We do.
So you can't be too soft and too needy. You got to mess with his head every now and then.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
You know what?
It's going there.
As much as frustrating as that can be, it just adds this level of excitement.
Yeah, I bring it.
Hold on, wait. Give me some examples of this. Give me some examples.
Listen, so you don't know how I'm coming, you know, at the end of the day and, you know, how I'm going to relax and what I'm going to put on and what music I'm going to play. My house is amazing. It's technologically driven. So, you know, I have a movie theater, I have VR, I have music that plays, you know, you could lower the lights. My house is set like a cave. A man likes a cave.
Yeah.
The whole house is a cave. And I just come out like, you Tarzan today? Well, I'm Jane.
Slayer.
you understand?
I understand.
So, you know, I might be Tina Turner today, you know, and then I might be Janet Jackson tomorrow. You never know how I'm going to come out.
Uh-oh.
You never know what I'm going to do. He doesn't, you know, I just... Every now and then, I travel a lot. So every now and then, you know, I usually pick up the telephone, babe, I just lend it. But every now and then, I don't call him until late at night. What's she doing? Where you at? Oh, you got plans. Oh, don't say that. I'm that type of woman that I just keep it on his tiptoes. Because you never know how I'm going to come at you. But I'm coming at you.
Oh, this is that dark game. I'm scared for the ladies to know this one here.
Right.
Uh-oh.
They're going to take it too
because,
far.
Because, you know, you man get bored fast. And they've got to conquer something. So I make myself conquerable.
Oh.
Yes.
Man, honestly.
I like that.
I hate to say that what you're saying is right. Even when you think about being married for a span of, you know, years, decades even.
One.
You gotta keep that thing fun and interesting. And that is true. Whether we want to call it, you know, bad or what, that is our nature.
Mm-hmm.
It is a nature of conquest.
Mm-hmm. We were in parachuting. So he wasn't going to go. So I said, "I'm whatever I set up for your birthday, just say yes." Because, you know, men have to be in control, right?
Yeah, we like that.
Yeah. So he said, okay. So that morning, a limousine picked us up. We went into the desert. He said, where are we going? We got there. There's an airplane, parachutes. We're jumping out of this airplane. And you said yes. And his little heart was pounding. I know it was, but he's got Obama cool, right?
Yeah.
He's a real cool guy. He said afterwards his heart was pounding. But it was the most exhilarating thing he ever did. And he said, thank you.
Wow.
You know, thank you. And, you know, I like to explore things. I just take him on explorations. But back to the house, I set the house up. You know, you got to come to the house.
I would love to.
We got to come through.
First of all, I'm already trying to get to the protege level.
Right. We got like a few more levels to work through first.
Right. We still strangers
we're
right
trying,
now.
We're trying to work to colleagues.
Right.
Here, check this out. I want to give a quick shout out to all the new members. Shout out to Connie Hill for becoming an initiate. And shout out to VJ. VJ, what's up? I just love VJ.
VJ
always
you,
said
VJ.
It all. Anita, we appreciate you. And shout out to Kara Michelle. She says, this is for Dr. Trim. How do I break the cycle of a supporting role? No.
Mm-hmm.
How do I break the cycle of a supporting role in others' lives and become the main character?
You have to have a vision for your life. So a lot of people don't live with vision. I had a 20-year vision, and then I have another. This is my second 20-year vision. Know what you want for your life in these 12 areas. I wrote a book, Hello Tomorrow. And, you know, how to write this vision specifically, because people usually say, okay, write a vision, and we just write one, but it's 12 micro visions that you're actually writing. And you write it in each area. And so you know on any given day or any given season where your life is going. And then you control that and you stop trying to be everything to everyone else and stop trying to control someone else. You control yourself. Make yourself happy. You know, nurture yourself. And then the right people will come into your life.
Man.
Line, please.
It's about that time, y'all. What we going to do now for the family, we're going to get you involved here in the conversation with the amazing Dr. Cindy Trim, okay? So we're actually going to put the link in the description, and you guys be patient, but you're going to come in backstage, put your name, turn your cameras on, get your sound right, and patiently wait for us to bring you on the stage. So the link, Ryan, let us know when the link is dropped.
I'm going to drop the link right now. I actually got a little sidetrack. I was looking at Dr. Trim's book, Hello Tomorrow, The Transformational Power of Vision. Mm-hmm.
That's a book everything. We need to be reading.
She did everything.
Honestly, I want that book for myself.
Some excellent reviews. I'm looking at it on Amazon right now. Goodreads, Amazon, everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Trim, you turned up.
Impressive.
Turned all the way
impressive.
Up.
Impressive.
Yeah.
I wish you would have bought us a copy, man. I would have loved to have one for myself.
So I have to come back.
Absolutely.
With my books.
There you go.
Absolutely.
We got an excuse, y'all. She already agreed.
I love, love, love what you're doing. And I love your energy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.